to Air Magik. I'm your host, Eric, and I'm debating on whether or not it's worth the drive to Prague to watch Oppenheimer on 70mm IMAX film. And with me is my amazing co-host, Niels.
Hello, everyone. Well, and I'm that guy that was seeing Haunted Mansion on its release day here in Holland. Ooh. And today, I'm sharing my recent trip report to Disneyland Paris and whether or not to see the new Together, a Pixar musical adventure show in Walt Disney Studios Park.
Oh, that's awesome. Real quick, out of 100, what percentage do you give the Haunted Mansion film?
Ooh. Well, as a Disney Parks and Haunted Mansion fan, I would say 85%.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
If I was a regular visitor, then maybe 70%.
Okay, well, that's awesome. But before we get to the main topic, Niels, what's caught your eye at Disneyland Paris over the past month?
I think we could talk about this for a long time, or maybe even fill a complete show, but it won't help to make it better. So no. I keep it relatively short. The new annual passes, or Disneyland passes, I should say, they have been released by now. No more Infinity, Magic Plus, Magic Flex, and Discovery passes. So we now have a simplified program consisting out of gold, silver, and bronze passes. Lots of existing benefits have been cut off, unfortunately.
Ooh.
Like Infinity priority parking, free lockers, free buggy rental, priority entrance for Infinity and Magic Plus pass holders, the all-year hotel discounts, Infinity VIP spots for the shows and parades, privilege tickets, and part of the reduction on all your shopping. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff that we lost.
That's like almost everything.
Yep, that's almost all perks that we had on top of, well, access to the parks.
Yeah.
Well, and I probably even forgot some of the perks. But the other bad news is that we have to pay far more for these new passes. So a price increase and less benefits.
Uh-huh.
But what bothers me most is that Disney communicated that they have listened to us, the fans, the pass holders, to make the pass program even better. So
yeah, that's like, excuse me, they're pissing on our heads and calling it rain. Like, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure who they asked. Which pass holder is asking for higher prices, less perks?
Oh, I don't want any discounts or benefits. Yeah. I don't want any
and
of that.
And also still being stuck with reservation system.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, unfortunately, also still in place.
Supposedly it's a little bit more lax, more capacity. So if the parks are sold out, only then will it black
out. Exactly. So you still have the 3 reservation slots, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But indeed, the whole reservation pool is much bigger now. Not a select number of annual pass slots that they had, but you reserve out of the full park capacity. And we already challenged that, as someone we know with an Infinity Pass was not able to make a reservation for a specific date in September. And we were able to do it with our new gold passes, as we already got them.
It's like this weird 2-class system now.
Yeah. So they really have 2 different systems. Yep. Also, everything is digital now.
That's a good thing.
So purchasing the pass, scanning for access and reductions, everything can be done now through the app. So that's really nice. If you wish to have a physical pass, it's also still possible, but then you have to go to the counters at the Walt Disney Studios Park to get one. In short, the Gold Pass has 365 days of access to extra magic time. There's a Photo Pass Plus included, so that's a Photo Pass for the full year. And I discovered today that it's a Photo Pass Premium, so that's also including the 180-degree video that you can get in the Hero Training Center at Avengers Campus. So that's only
something
for the premium photo passes, not for the ones that we have with the old Infinity Pass.
Yeah.
So that's, well, at least there's one new perk.
Yeah.
There's still a 15% reduction in the shops. So that used to be 20, but now it's 15.
Mm-hmm.
And still 50% off in restaurants, just like it was for the Infinity Pass.
Yeah.
Parking is included for all passes, by the way. Silver Pass doesn't have the extra magic time access and doesn't have the photo pass included, but you'll get a 10% reduction on that photo pass if you would like to have one.
Right.
The Silver Pass holders also get a 10% reduction in the shops and restaurants instead of 15%.
Uh-huh.
And as for park access, Silver has 65 block out days. So that's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Then over to the bronze one, 195 block out days. So it's not making it interesting for anyone living a little bit further away than Paris itself.
Yeah.
I guess there are no reductions at all, no photo pass, no extra magic time. So it just parking as an extra perk on top of those days that you have access to the parks.
Yeah.
So for a lot of people that live further away or have kids and are bound to the weekends and school holidays, the bronze one is definitely out of consideration. The silver maybe as well, at least for me it is. Yeah, and that's going to cost you a lot, as it's 699 euros a year for the gold one. Silver is 499 and bronze 289. So yeah, it's a lot of money, and it will definitely create the feeling that the gold one is just for the rich people.
Yeah. Well, you definitely have to make a certain amount of money to be able to afford that every year. And that's not a criticism at anybody, but it's like, yeah, Disney is pricing out a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well, so again, I'm not happy with the new program, especially not with the way Disney communicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing to do about it. When you're going several times a year, it still might be interesting to consider a pass if you have the money, of course, and if you are willing to pay that amount of money. It's not only having it, but also being willing to pay that.
True.
But yeah, that's why I bought the gold pass. But I can imagine that, this prices out a lot of people indeed. Yeah, new is also that they have a limited amount of passes, so passes can be sold out at a certain moment, or at least, yeah, that's what Disney is communicating at this moment.
Trying to create some of that FOMO.
Yeah, let's see how that works out. The good news is that Disney plans to have special character meets for a period of time for just pass holders. So that's something new that we will get, and that will be in the former annual pass bureau in the Disneyland park. And they will also organize 4 pass holder parties a year, and those parties will be paid parties, but exclusively available for the pass holders and a plus one, so they can bring one person. Yeah, these gold, silver and bronze passes might refer to the Olympic Games of 2024 in Paris. What do you think, Eric?
I think that that makes sense. They're looking at that Olympic money, honey. They're like, yeah, they can pay that if they're going to watch the game. No, but to be honest, I would trade these new passes for the old ones in a heartbeat, because I really love that infinity parking. It was so convenient if you visited the parks very often to know that you'd have a parking spot close to the gates, mm-hmm, and you wouldn't have to walk so much, as well as the hotel discounts, which were a lot of times the only reason we ended up staying at a Disney on-property hotel, was because we got a decent discount and could afford that more often. I'm really surprised they got rid of those.
Yeah, and also so quick, as they one day announced these new passes and 1 week later or 2 weeks later, all the benefits were already taken also for the current pass holders, the Infinity pass holders especially. So
yeah, and the contracts, you always read that line, subject to availability, and we can change anything at any time, and they sure did
this time. They did. So
well, we have to live with it. There's not really much you can do if you want to keep visiting the parks. We will not be renewing, but that's partly due to our current situation. We're building a new home, so we have to look a little bit more at our budget this year.
Yeah,
it's not happening, at least not right now. So we're going to reduce our visits to maybe once or twice a year.
And then it makes sense to just buy a package of a Disney hotel with tickets.
Yep. There's a platform here in Germany, it's called My Deals, and they have a lot of really good discount purse deals over the year. So if you book smartly and book when those deals appear, then you're saving a lot of money.
And to be honest, one of the perks that I won't really miss is that hotel discount that we got, as I had a lot of situations that I was calling with the Disney holiday experts, as they call them. Then I got a price for a Disney hotel with my Infinity discount. It wasn't last minute, but also not like a year before. So you had, a reasonable reduction on the room only price. But when I was checking booking.com or hotels.com, I was able to get the same price or almost the same price, and sometimes even a better price.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So,
oh, no.
Yeah,
it was a pain to always have to call the hotline.
Yeah, and you were waiting for an hour.
It's true. I've heard that quite a bit. I never had it happen to me personally. I have seen like similar prices where the quote I was given on the phone was like 20 euro less per night. We also managed to get a couple of really good deals. Like in January, we managed to stay at Davy Crockett's for 70 euro per night, which is like the least money I've ever paid for any Disney hotel.
That's a really good deal.
And for New Year's Eve, this wasn't a good deal, but considering the circumstance with the discount, we managed to get the Hotel Cheyenne. I think we stayed 2 nights. It was 800 euros. It would have been the same for the Santa Fe, which was kind of funny line. And there you would have paid 2 grand for those same 2 nights. So that saved a lot of money over the third-party booking sites. Yep. There are a couple of situations when that really came in handy, and as a fan, you really appreciate it.
Yep. Let's close the
chapter.
So what caught your eyes, Eric?
Disney Imagineers collaborated with Disneyland Paris teams and Pixar Animation Studios to retheme Fuente del Oro Restaurante to Coco. This intellectual property-first strategy was first publicly revealed by former CEO Bob Iger. We've talked about this on the podcast a lot, where Disney parks worldwide have been steadily retheming non-IP or intellectual property attractions, shops, and restaurants, and inserting whatever fits best into the spaces. So in this case, in Frontierland, it's Casa de Coco, Restaurante de Familia, which showcases Miguel's family heritage from Hector Rivera's guitar to the traditional shoes made by the Rivera family.
Yep.
Parkgoers that reach the entrance are being greeted by a life-size bronze statue of Miguel, dressed up in a traditional mariachi charro attire. The statue pays tribute to the character and features familiar tunes from traditional Mexican songs, including Coco's flagship song, Remember Me. Also, the new covered outdoor terrace is like much bigger than I expected it to be, and it looks really, really nice. I like that they covered that terrace. I think that works really well, especially when it's raining or there's inclement weather. It's a nice place to hide out in. The statue of Miguel is also really on model. Like, it looks super film accurate. There's lots of details. Niels, you got to see it in person. Yeah, what did you think of it?
I saw it last weekend. I don't think the whole Coco thing fits in the Thunder Mesa story of
Frontierland.
So that's my biggest issue. But other than that, everything looks amazing. And this statue is indeed a highlight. And I'm happy that it is a bronze statue. So it's not too colorful. So when you're in the waiting area of Big Thunder Mountain and looking over the restaurant, then it still feels pretty authentic and not too screamy with cartoonish colors. So I'm happy that they did it this way then. Yeah. And that covered terrace, it's adding a lot of capacity to the restaurant, but it's also really nicely done with, it's covered with wood. But on top of the wood, there's glass, so there's still light coming through, but we're also really protected from any rain or snow.
Let's hope they keep it clean over the years.
So that's the tricky part. But for now, it looks really, really nice.
Yeah. I completely agree with you on the whole storyline issue. I'm also not a huge fan of pushing IP in places where there doesn't really need to be IP. So this is me grudgingly giving compliments because a lot of stuff was done really well and a lot of it is an upgrade, like especially the color palette, in my opinion. But I couldn't agree more. Like, I wish they hadn't crammed this into Thunder Mesa.
Yeah.
So colorful papel picados are also adorning the newly covered patio. Picado, also known as perforated paper or pecked paper, is a traditional decorative craft from Mexico. It involves cutting intricate designs into tissue paper sheets. Although Imagineers have opted to use a more sturdy material at Disneyland Paris. Inspired by Mexican tradition and the movie's opening scene, nearly 200 papel picados were created by the creative team, drawing inspiration from Mexican folklore, music, and floral elements. Yeah, those look really fun and colorful. Did you see them hanging underneath the terrace?
Yeah, it looks really nice. It's giving a far more detailed feel than it used to have when it was Fuente del Oro. So
it's kind of similar to what they hang up for the Halloween Coco decorations, right? Yeah. It's like the celebratory aesthetic. Yeah, it gives like a little party vibe.
Just like the tiles on the floor. I'm not sure if you're touching that, but it's so
colorful. A huge carved and colorful alebrije, reminiscent of Dante, Miguel's spirit guide to the land of the dead, is also featured in the restaurant, playfully stretching from one side to the other. This large decor element encompasses the entire width of the counter. Yeah, and the new tile work on the floor, like Niels just mentioned, looks absolutely gorgeous. It's a major improvement to what was there before. I also really prefer the overall brighter and more contrasty color palette they integrated here. What's kind of funny is I was watching before and after videos, and the shape of the carved alebrije, only thing they changed was towards the back, there was a señor holding a kebab with corn. They removed him completely, but the overall shape of this fantasy animal has remained completely the same. They just repainted.
Pretty smart.
So in La Sala de Musica, the heart of Miguel's rediscovered family heritage, parkgoers will see Hector's guitar prominently displayed among various musical instruments. Additionally, towards the back of the room, parkgoers can explore notes from the pages of Hector's diary. Pixar provided original references to ensure a faithful translation from screen to reality. Yeah, and this new area. So they removed all these fabulous handmade masks and carvings and sculptures. So I am missing those a little bit. But the family photographs do look cute and authentic. And there's also these shoes hanging below the ceiling, which look really fun. Mostly the aesthetic has remained unchanged. Again, the color palette has been brightened up a bit, but it feels very much like it did before, just cokeified. On the other side of the restaurant, in La Sala de Familia, portraits of the family members take center stage, honoring their legacy. This room also pays tributes to the family's trade of shoemaking, showcasing traditional woven fabrics, shoemaker tools, and shoe boxes featuring the family brand. The craftsmanship and expertise of the Riveras, inherited from Mama Imelda, are proudly featured here. The restaurant's menu has mostly remained the same, although frozen margaritas have made a comeback.
Yeah, true.
You can try to get a good drink to forget how they messed up the Thunder Mesa story.
Yeah.
Did you dine there, Niels, on your last trip?
No, so I'm not sure if it's still the same quality, but the menu is pretty much the same indeed, with some burritos, churros, fries, some kind of chicken nuggets, and indeed the famous frozen margarita that is now back. I was hoping that they would bring back those deep fried jalapeno cheese snacks that they had for a while when it was officially a bar. I like those snacks. And they still have vegetarian Mexican style salads.
Yeah. I know we'll definitely be dining there next time we visit because this is one of our favorite places. Yeah. It's just a really good quick service location. On this month's Patreon-exclusive show, we're continuing our exploration of Space Mountain de la Terre à la Lune, the official attraction deep dive part 2. A plethora of secrets and fun facts about this iconic attraction, as well as Discoveryland, are coming your way. If you would like to support the show and get access to a bunch of exclusive content, head on over to patreon.com/aeromagique. Ad luna in flamma gloria. So yeah, Niels, on your last trip, you got to check out Together, a Pixar musical adventure. For those listeners who want to stay spoiler-free, could you please give us your opinion on the show? Is it comparable in production quality to Mickey and the Magician and Lion King, Rhythm of the Pridelands?
Well, yeah, let's keep it spoiler-free for now.
Yeah.
Especially since Disney has forbidden to use your phone or camera during the show. So there's not much content from the show that you can find on the social channels at the moment. I know that you were looking for it, Eric.
Yeah, well, I was trying to be good and do my research for the show because I haven't been able to check it out in person. I was trying to stay spoiler free, but I was like, you know what? For this show, I'm going to do it. But yeah, nothing. The only thing I was able to find online was a pure audio recording of the entire show.
Yeah.
But that really doesn't tell you much.
No, so. Exactly, yeah. Although I would have loved to, well, take some pictures myself. I understand their decision, and it also makes the experience much better for everyone in the theater. I've seen the show 3 times already.
Nice.
And I was lucky to experience it twice without technical issues during the show. Yes, it's a new and innovative 30-minute show that has technical issues.
But that's also the fun live aspect of it, right? Like, you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly, yeah. And that usually means that the show stops for a moment, the curtains close, and the show will be picked up some minutes later. So,
right, yeah.
They even have a nice audio recording for that to tell you that they have technical issues, to stay seated, and that they will resume shortly. We one time had a delayed start, but well, that's fine. Better than interrupting the show itself. But yeah, to the show itself, it's, let's say, a multi-layered show, making use of screens, projections, lights, of course, and some other effects. There are also physical props and decors, a live orchestra, and lots of Pixar characters, of course, from Up, Toy Story, Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc., and Coco. So that's enough info for now, I guess. But the show is totally different from Mickey and the Magician or Lion King, Rhythm of the Pridelands, from a character, story, musical, and set perspective. So in my opinion, it's a really strong and sensory show that's a perfect and worthy addition to all these other great shows that we already have at Disneyland Paris. And I would say it's a must-see for me, at least. But I also heard a lot of people being fan already. Yeah, so if you decide to not listen any further, if we deep dive more into the show itself, my tip is best view in the center position. Otherwise, you might be able to see people moving set elements and taking away a little bit of the magic. But yeah, the full center area is the best place.
The best place to watch. Almost like in a movie theater, right? Like, you want the full surround sound experience.
Exactly.
It's in the middle.
And in this case, it doesn't matter if you're in the front or in the back. Of course, in the back you will see less detail, but you have a better total view over the whole stage.
Yeah.
But try to get a center position.
Yeah. Cool beans. Well, you guys, we're going to dive into some story points here. So au revoir for now if you're trying to stay spoiler free. If y'all want to learn a little bit more about the show, keep listening.
Yep.
I'm going to insert a little audio thing here so you guys have time to turn it off in case you don't want to spoil yourselves.
Okay.
So, did you enjoy the overall Charlie storyline, and what were your highlights of the production?
Well, yes, I like the overall story, although it's basically just another story created to connect multiple films and character universes in one show. So that's something that we've seen before, that we have with Mickey and the Magician, that we used to have with the Animagique show in the past. And so in that sense, it's not really original,
yeah.
But the message is very good. It's about teamwork, doing it together, like the name of the show. So the storyline isn't extremely special to me,
right.
But the emotional part and the message is absolutely great. I also love the live orchestra giving the show a lot of power. Warning, the sound can be loud.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Louder than Mickey and the Magician in my experience. And that's probably because it's a live orchestra and they made me want to give that a little bit more credit. But the real highlight is the combination of screens, the moving LED panels, projections, and all the physical objects, as those layers work really nice and are used to create depth, really cool effects, and also to give space to introduce or remove physical objects. So they move LED screens onto the stage to do something with a physical object behind it. The way they do it, it's really nice. It adds a lot of layers. There's something to see everywhere. Characters or objects could be both physical on set in one moment and be on the screen in the next moment. So yeah, the creative people of Disney found really nice ways to play around with these two dimensions. It's really cool. So sometimes you are asking yourself the question, is this still the physical character or is this on screen now?
Ah, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's really nice. But effects that they also added include wind, the strawberry smell of Lotso.
Ooh, okay.
Only the first time that he appears, by the way. Smoke around the set for the air scene set that we have with Buzz Lightyear flying around and for the whole up scene with the house being in the sky. A lot of soap bubbles for the Finding Nemo scene, serpentines, paper music sheets that are coming down over the audience. That's the music sheets that the main character, Charlie, has created.
Do these make physical contact with
yes.
you? Like confetti, basically?
Yes, you can keep them.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Both the serpentines and the music sheets. So if you want to have a music sheet, then you should be in the center position. And in the, let's say, first three quarters of that auditorium area where you sit. So not fully in the back, as most of the effects are not pushed into the back section.
That
also
okay.
goes for the wind and the smell effects. You have a feeling that it's happening, or you can feel it a little bit, but not enough. So yeah. If you're in the center or in the lower part of the theater, then you will have a better experience and also the chance to get your hands on one of those music sheets. Yeah, so there's a lot of things going on, and that's exactly what I love of this show. I saw it three times and every time I saw new things, so that's really nice. Scene-wise, they all have their own effects, their own charm, their own highlights. There's not a particular scene that is my favorite, but I might have a preference for the Coco segment as it starts all dark and quiet, and then we move on at a certain moment to a very energetic and colorful part with Miguel. So that's a really nice contrast. Another fantastic scene is the Nemo one, where screen and live actors perfectly interact with each other, and the screens really blend into what's happening on the stage in a very magically colored deep sea environment. And then with all those soap bells added, they're coming and coming and keep on coming. Well, yeah, that's really enchanting. But the set, every scene is great in its own way, but maybe the up scene is a little bit long-winded in my opinion, as there's less things happening on stage and on the screen. So there's a lot of dialogue
right.
In a fixed position in that house, flying in the sky. But that's the only thing that they could probably improve.
Okay. Well, that basically already answers my next question. But I think it's so cool that it's a multi-sensory experience, like with the scent. I love that. I hope to see more of that in the future at Disneyland Paris. Also, the way you described them integrating the LED screen reminds me a little bit of what Universal Studios in Orlando is doing with the stunt Born Spectacular, where they have some actors on the LED screen and then they have some live actors on stage supporting them. Yeah. So virtual interaction basically between real life objects and the screen. Got to find that nice balance. And I think they've done a really good job with that.
And the cool thing here is that you could see Buzz Lightyear walking on the stage, interacting with the other Toy Story characters. Then he goes out for his mission to get back one of the music sheets of Charlie, as they're spread over a lot of areas, different films actually. And then we see Buzz at a certain moment from a little bit higher stage element and then flying away with his famous arm stretched in front of him to infinity and beyond. And of course, he's hanging with a cable and then pulled up. But you can see that happening. And then we switch over to a full screen experience where we see an animated Buzz flying through the sky. So yeah, they have different layers and they really combine one character being both physical and virtual. And that's really cool.
So I'm going to ask anyway, is there anything you would change or would like to see improved upon in Together a Certain Musical Adventure?
That would definitely have to be that up scene because it's a bit long winded, but it's also because the amount of French language, especially in this scene of Up, it's really too much and it could and should have been more balanced with English. So I really hope Disney will improve that. Of course, it's a visual show. You will still understand the main story. But as a non-French speaking person, I got the feeling that I was missing some details when watching the Up scene.
Right.
And maybe something else. For me, it could have been Andy instead of Charlie to make it more recognizable and more Pixar, more Toy Story maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe they just wanted to have a girl or to zoom out from the whole Toy Story franchise for a moment. But
yeah, to be more inclusive of all the other franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie works really well because it's a unisex name, so to say.
Yeah,
so everybody can project their own vision of Charlie onto this production.
Yeah, but we see a real life Charlie film, of course, but that's a girl, so.
Okay, so that you could tell.
The name, could be a boy as well, but Disney chose to.
I was thinking they were going for like a gender fluid. Would like could be either or type thing.
Yeah.
So
no.
Okay.
No, that's not
works
the case.
Too. Yeah, okay. Anything else that's noteworthy and your final thoughts on Together a Pixar Musical Adventure?
Yeah, go see the show.
Yeah.
I think it's really worth seeing and experiencing this new show. But be on time, as the show is pretty popular, at least right now. So people line up 45 to 90 minutes before start. Although cast members say, well, come back 30 or 40 minutes before the show starts. But yeah, a lot of people are staying around or just sitting there. Show times are available in the Disneyland Paris app, but usually four times a day, with the first show around 11 in the morning already, and the last show end of the afternoon around 5 p.m. Yeah, it's nicely spread over the day. Yeah, and together the theme song, which is really catchy. You can listen to it on Spotify and other streaming services if you like.
Love that. Always love a good soundtrack
Happy
release.
That they added that already to the streaming services. Yeah,
totally. So, Niels, you recently spent about 2 weeks near Disneyland Paris, visited the parks. Besides the Disneyland Pass and the new show, did you get to check out some of the other new Disneyland Paris attractions shows? And how did you like them?
Well, this was our summer vacation, so we took it easy and explored Paris, did some shopping and surrounding as well. But we spent most of our time at the Disney Davy Crockett Ranch and in the Disney parks, of course.
Nice.
Well, Davy Crockett, a fantastic cabin park in the forest with a nice pool, and the cabin had air conditioning.
Brilliant.
So that was really nice, especially since we were there in the better days. So there was still solid 26, 27 degrees, no rain.
Perfect.
The aircon was really nice to have. There's a kitchen, there are two bathrooms, two toilets, and there's even a barbecue outside. So yeah, a perfect place for a relaxed vacation with a bit more privacy than you have in the Disney hotels. Yeah, and well, easy to combine with the Disney parks as long as you have a car, as there's no shuttle service.
Right.
As for the other new experiences, yes, I went to the Nautilus several times. It looks absolutely fantastic after that refurb with a lot of props and, well, everything looking pristine. But as you probably all know, the physical animatronic squid has been cancelled.
R.I.P.
There's a screen now showing deep sea nature scenes of a whale, a sea turtle, and so on. So I think there are four different scenes.
Right.
And it definitely looks nice with some kind of 3D-ish or at least some kind of depth effect.
Yeah, probably it's multi-plane fusion.
A little bit like the Spider-Man web pre-show effect. Yeah, but it's more a National Geographic documentary, really short documentaries, by the way, as it's just like 2 minutes, than the original 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea link that used to be there.
Chipping away at that steampunk Jules Verne fantasy here.
Yeah, it still looks Jules Verne's, but yeah, this piece of film, yeah. As said, it's more National Geographic now.
Somebody on Twitter posted the stock video links to the actual footage they used in the Nautilus.
Oh, really?
If you want, you can go buy it.
Yeah, it's nothing special. You just see some sea, then, well, a turtle is swimming there, and there's a voiceover telling a bit about these fantastic sea creatures, blah, 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 something like that.
Right.
And then it closes, and they hope you move along so that other people can enjoy the next scene. I once had the situation that there were so many people in the Nautilus. I never saw that many people in the Nautilus, by the way, checking out this new effect. So they were just sitting there and waiting for the next scene.
People are so starved for new attractions. Yeah. Like you add some stock photo video, it's like the park's new highlight. They'll then go there.
Yeah, but then there was a cast member shouting through the audio system like, move on.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious. Okay.
Yeah, it was hilarious. It was a bit awkward. But, well, I think this screen will help Disney to replace the content when a possible Nautilus series for Disney Plus might come in the future, as there were some rumors about that.
I would love to see that, by the way. Yeah, and I would love to see it successful even more so our Discovery Land will finally get a new reason to get some investment.
Yeah, if this series is coming and it's successful, then they can simply replace the screen content with film scenes or something that matches with the series. So maybe it will become more 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea again one day.
Hey, Disney, make an From the Earth to the Moon series next.
And then you have an attraction that could perfectly fit the new series. Yeah, and then we, of course, have that really nice organ where we used to see Captain Nemo, but nothing happening there right now, at least not when I was there. So
it's so odd that they turned off that effect. I don't get it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And we still hear the voiceover saying something about Captain Nemo, so why not show him?
That's really weird.
By the way, that cast member that was asking people to just move on used something in her line with Captain Nemo that he was asking for it, something like that. So that was still pretty fun.
Okay, so at least it's like in story. Yeah, okay.
But the way she said it was quite demanding.
Yeah.
Not friendly at all.
Well, her announcement is more in story than the new video footage they integrated.
Yeah. And then I would like to quickly address the Bestel Day fireworks on the 14th of July.
That's awesome.
That was one of our first days, so I was really happy to be there. That special French national holiday goes hand in hand with big fireworks usually, but this year Disneyland Paris decided to add something extra special. And that extra special thing were drones. And with drones, I mean a lot of drones, as they set a European record with almost 1,500 drones being simultaneously in the air. Yeah, we saw characters like Lumiere and buildings like the Moulin Rouge, the Eiffel Tower, Notre Dame, and more appearing in the sky. And it was just amazing. I never saw that many fireworks as well in my life. So it was not just drones. It was also a lot of fireworks. It was also more than you usually see during the New Year's Eve fireworks that Disneyland Paris has. So, it was truly amazing. And a day I won't forget soon, even though it was pretty busy in the park. Yeah, this show was a highlight to remember.
Fabulous.
Yeah. And to conclude, I was happy to experience some things I didn't do before. We had dinner at the luxury Manhattan restaurant at Hotel New York, The Art of Marvel.
Nice.
We have your review already, Eric, in one of the earlier episodes of Air Magique.
True.
Yeah, I would love to say that we all loved it, and beautiful presentation of the food and absolutely delicious dishes. So
brilliant.
Probably the best table service restaurant at ELP at this moment.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, at least those few dishes that I tried.
Yeah. What did you have? Do you recall?
I had a burrata as a starter, which was really good. Then I had a fish. I'm not sure what fish it was. It was a white fish, but really good.
Mm-hmm, nice.
We took two different desserts. I plan to have the same as my wife, but I thought, well, let's try two different things, and both were pretty good. One of the desserts was a chocolate dessert, and the other one, I don't recall, but it was really good. And our daughter had the kids' menu. Uh-huh. And the fun thing is that they have stuff that kids like some bread with tomatoes as a starter.
Always good, yeah.
But then it was a bruschetta with the tomatoes nicely on top of it, with some herbs, and really nice presented. So yeah, it looks luxury.
Yeah, they still have those salt and pepper shakers that are shaped like the Empire State Building and I think the Chrysler Building. Yeah. I love those.
They still have
so
it.
Cool.
Really nice. Really nice.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the Manhattan restaurant, but I have to say, I think I still prefer Captain Jack's. It's still my number one table service restaurant in the entire resort. Yeah. Okay. Not even the atmosphere, but I like the kitchen even a little bit more there at Caribbean. But that's just me personally. Yeah.
I had a feeling that Manhattan had a little bit more exclusiveness, a little bit more quality in the food, but it might depend on what you choose. But a really good experience and definitely a restaurant to check out. We also had the opportunity to finally go back to Downtown Restaurant, the same hotel. That's the buffet with American, Italian, and Chinese offerings.
Yeah, good.
It's still very, very high quality and my favorite buffet restaurant at Disneyland Paris. So yeah, for the good food, you have to be at the Hotel New York. We also visited the Royal Pub in Disney Village, the former King Ludwig's Castle restaurant.
Yeah.
The interior is quite the same, but the king on his horse in the center is now a beer tank. And the royal paintings have been replaced with Royal Pub logos and some other elements. Nothing really special.
Okay.
It looks okay, but still the same feel, I think. And it's not marketed as a restaurant, but more as a pub.
Uh-huh.
So there's a little bit more finger food, chicken wings and stuff. We both had the veggie Super Bowl and we both loved it. There were three types of quinoa and a variety of vegetables, mango, all fresh.
Nice.
Avocado and crunchy beans. It was healthy and delicious, so we might get that again. Overall, good experience. Not the most special atmosphere, but the good thing is that there's usually a lot of capacity. Yeah, so if other restaurants are having long waits, just go there. The food is good, the service was good, and yeah, you can have a nice lunch or dinner or just a snack with a drink.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Niels. I learned so much and I really want to check out the new Pixar show now.
Yeah, you have to see it one day. Yeah. But I guess it's to stay there for a long time and Disney might even improve some of the technical issues that they have at the moment.
Yeah, it would be great to see. Brilliant, Niels. Where can people find you?
Well, people can follow me on Instagram. I'm at Capturing Disney Parks and post daily pictures. For all my other activities, please visit my website, CapturingDisneyParks.com.
Brilliant. If you just found us, be sure to subscribe to Air Magique on your favorite podcasting platform to never miss out on a future episode. You can also follow Air Magique on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and check out our website, airmagique.net, for all the latest Disneyland Paris and European theme park news and podcast updates. Please consider supporting the show on patreon.com/airmagique. You get access to a completely new exclusive episode every single month, and it really helps out a lot and keeps the show running.
Yes.
So before we go, we did want to thank some of our patrons, and you can also get in a shout out at the Sequoia tiers. So thank you so much to Simon, Jen, JP, Jerry, Gray, Andy, Jen OB, Jordan, and Tulips. Thank you so much, you guys.
Yes, thanks a lot.
Stay safe and have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you real soon.
Bye-bye.
Also, the water pools used to have real fire effects.
Oh, yeah.
Which would travel across the top of the water and were so, so cool. Yeah. I really miss those. I hope that one day we can see them again. The LED lighting already looks really nice at night, but real fire.
Those were added 1 or 2 years ago, I think.
Yep.
Indeed, it gives more
volcanic
lava feeling. So it's definitely an upgrade to what we used to have. But real fire effects, that would be really nice.
That was just a short preview of the full length Patreon exclusive show. You can get instant access to this episode as well as Disneyland Paris Hacks 2.0, Disneyland Paris on a Budget, and the Discoveryland Deep Dive, along with all of our other fabulous Patreon-exclusive episodes now on patreon.com/airmagique. See you there!